serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, random start for you on this Monday morning here at 6:06 in the morning. This is a story I meant to get to last week here. Some of you may have seen this headline. I think the Disney family in Libby, Montana saw this headline. I think they're the ones who sent it to me and had the same questions I had the same concerns that I had. Oh, look at what old liberal Senator John Tester is trying to do here. He is trying to beat the clock. TikTok, he is trying to beat the clock before November of this year, November of 2024, and then, of course, January of 2025. I mean, think about it. If we get America back on course with Donald Trump in the White House and with a Republican-controlled Senate, with Tim Sheehy in the United States Senate, with John Tester out of the United States Senate, think about the magnitude of what that means for the state of Montana. What's one of the biggest problems we have in Montana? And what's one of the biggest problems we've had for decades? Why do you think our timber industry is such a wreck right now? Lost another mill here recently. Why do you think it is such a wreck right now? Liberal federal judges on the federal bench that do the dirty work for the Democrat Party. You know, it's pretty interesting. I've had a couple of Democrat candidates for office, not currently holding any elected position, but I've had a couple candidates, Democrat candidates for office, call into the show, and I've asked them. I said, "Well, what do you think? Should biological males be allowed into girls' locker rooms?" And they'll say, "Oh, well, no, that's crazy, that's over the line." Well, that's funny because that's what every elected Democrat says should happen. That's what liberal Senator John Tester just voted for. But you know what they'll do, though? See, they know how to play the game. They'll just have their buddies in the Montana Supreme Court and their liberal buddies on the state district courts do their dirty work for them. Now, on the flip side, at the federal level, what we've seen, we've got liberal activist federal judges pushing their partisan agenda, pushing their radical environmentalist agenda for them. So you've seen Democrats over the years like Max Baucus, the guy who sold us out to China, and flip-flop flat top. They'll say, "Oh, well, I support this or I support that." Platitudes. But then they put their liberal buddies on the federal courts to do the dirty work for them. There was a headline last week at the Helena IR. Biden nominates Dana Jackson, or is it Dana Jackson? Somebody. Biden nominates fill in the blank to Montana federal judgeship. So basically, you've got this left-wing activist, Dana Christensen, who's a federal judge on the bench right now. Dana is going to take senior status, which means that Dana can sit back, not work all the time, kind of work whenever Dana wants to, but Dana can pick and choose which court cases Dana wants to take on, so that Dana can still make rulings to vote against, to rule against, or notice that Freudian slip there, vote, rule, of course, because they get to rule. They don't vote, they rule. They rule over your votes. Can still rule against oil, gas, coal, common sense election laws, you name it, but from a senior status. And then what liberal Senator John Tester is trying to do now is to rush in a replacement, because if Trump takes over, if Sheehy becomes the next senator and the Republicans take back the Senate, they get to put constitutionalists on these courts instead of radical environmentalists like Tester's trying to put on once again.
Securing America.
Last week, Congress passed the foreign aid package, which will send over $60 billion in new aid to Ukraine. The Pentagon also announced $6 billion more in arms systems for Ukraine Friday. Joint Chiefs Chairman General C.Q. Brown stating that the aid remains necessary because
what happens in one corner of the world doesn't stay in one corner of the world.
But is continuing aid for Ukraine best for American national security? Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said on NBC's Meet the Press Sunday,
"This is in our best interest. This is not some charitable contribution to Ukraine."
But not everyone in the GOP Senate caucus agrees. Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio asking on Fox News Sunday,
"Why are Americans subsidizing European security? We should be focused on our own problems."
While also saying that when you factor in the Israel-Hamas war and issues with China in the Pacific,
America is stretched too thin.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some rain showers around the area today, especially in the Bozeman area early, then later in the day across the Billings area as well.
High temperature readings will range from around 57 in the Bozeman area to about 68 in Billings. For tonight, looking at some scattered showers as temperatures head back in the mid-20s, turning to snow showers late in Bozeman. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I'll tell you what a weekend. Travis, I'd really love to hear your thoughts on the General Flynn movie last night at the General Flynn event. Yeah, that was pretty incredible. By the way, great to see so many of our incredible listeners, not just last night, but all throughout the weekend. Man, it's like we wrapped up the show Friday and just kept rolling, kept working all through the weekend, but got to catch up with so many great listeners. But yeah, I'd be interested in hearing Travis's take of the General Flynn movie last night. He had a notepad and was taking notes and always gives an interesting take. Yeah, General Michael Flynn, who became the, you know, the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, the DIA, after what a 33-year career in the military, deployment after deployment after deployment, sacrifice upon sacrifice upon sacrifice, and yet look at the way he was treated. Look at the way he was treated by the fake news media. Look at the way he was treated by the Washington, D.C. swamp. Look at the way he, so despicable, not only what was done to him, but what was done to his family. I don't know. Some of the takeaways, General Michael Flynn was in Billings last night. I was going to go to the Donald Trump Jr. event. I was going to try to make it, but I needed to be here in studio here on this Monday morning, or, you know, maybe I could have. You know, I could have gone to Missoula, covered the Donald Trump Jr. event with Alex Brusewitz and the whole crew. It would have been great to catch up with all of them yesterday in Missoula. But I needed to be here in studio this Monday morning, and also wanted to be at the General Flynn event last night. Incredible event. But it sounds like the Donald Trump Jr. event was incredible as well. I got at least one highlight for you that I'll share with you. But watching the General Flynn movie that last night, and then, you know, listening in on some of the Q&A with General Flynn at the Bethany Christian Church in Billings, that's where the event was held, getting to talk with a number of his crew, his security detail, and then Lieutenant Colonel retired Ivan Raiklin, who was there with him. I actually served in a similar unit as Ivan Raiklin back in the day. So I was like, yeah, I remember you from a commander's conference, got a chance to meet him. But he basically, Ivan Raiklin, put together this link analysis chart, basically documenting and detailing this whole deep state operation to undermine the president of the United States, to undermine President Donald Trump. And basically the point that Ivan Raiklin made, I interviewed him. I used my wireless mics though, so I'm gonna test the audio with you guys here later this hour just to see, because I hope the audio comes across well over the air. I used my wireless mics instead of my wired mic, so I hope the audio is good because I want to play the full audio on the show. If not, we'll get it on our Montana Talks website for you for sure. But three things that stood out to me. You know, because we've gotten a chance to chat with General Flynn here on the show. We had him on earlier in the month as it was first announced that he was bringing his Flynn movie tour to Billings. And then we had him on just last week, last Thursday. If you missed it, the full audio is on our Montana Talks podcast Thursday from the 9 o'clock hour. So we got to hear, you know, from him. We got a chance to interview him. But watching the movie, I think what was crazy to me was here we are, you know, you're watching this footage of, you know, the tail end of the Obama administration and then the 2016 election. And then you could see what they were already doing to prepare the environment to undermine the duly elected president of the United States, President Donald Trump. And it was crazy because here we are watching this tragic moment, this tragic period in American history, but then realizing we are still living in it. You know, it's not like here we are watching this movie of like, man, what an awful period in American history of what our government did. And they had to start with General Flynn. They had to start with General Flynn because he knew where the bodies were buried. He had a peek behind the, not a peek behind the curtain. He operated behind the curtain. He was the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. He knew what was behind the curtain. He knew what was behind all the curtains of the entire national security apparatus of all these intelligence agencies. And so if they were going to weaponize the government to undermine the president of the United States, they needed to get General Michael Flynn out of the way so they could do it. That's why they started with him, with the weaponization of government. And that's why they had to get rid of him in order to go after everybody else. That was the point that, that Ivan Raiklin made. And that I think this movie really, and it was well-produced, by the way, well-produced documentary. I'm telling you what, it was powerful. And I'm somebody who, like, I like documentaries, but to be honest, it seems like there's a million of them out there. This was a very well-produced documentary. So if you haven't seen this Flynn movie yet, you can. There's various streaming services where you can purchase it still. But watching a tragic moment in history and realizing we are still living in it. Look what they're doing to Donald Trump to this day. Look at what they're doing to peaceful pro-life protesters. Look at what they're doing to spy on Catholic churches. We are still living in this tragic moment in history, which means we can still do something about it. We can still stand up to it. And we have to this year in 2024. The other couple of things that stood out to me was, you know, his wife is interviewed in the film. And you think about it, this is a soldier. You know, yeah, he became a general. Yeah, he became the national security director for President Trump. But he was a soldier. His wife was a service member's wife who had to suffer through deployment after deployment after deployment, move after move after move. Her husband gone, never known if he was going to come back. It's not just what they did to him. It's what they did to his wife. It's what they did to his family, and threatening his son as well. And then the other question I just kind of had, I was talking with some other folks in the crowd afterward, is I was talking with like former state senator Dave Howard, who's a retired FBI agent. And I said, imagine if they did that to any one of us, the rest of us. The people rallied around General Flynn, but he was a nationally known figure. What if it happened to any one of you right here in Montana? I mean, that was the other question, because that's what they're doing. They're going after people all across this country. Man, it is an absolute circus, a clown show that is taking place in this country right now. But this is no normal circus. This is no normal clown show. Did you guys hear about Paranormal Cirque? The Paranormal Circus in Billings last weekend. Boy, doesn't our country seem like a paranormal circus right now? Open borders, criminals put back out on the streets, the lawlessness, crazy. Paranormal, practically. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
Break Ag Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Wayne Nordlund. Some concerning news on the beef trade front. As the nation of Colombia has implemented restrictions on the import of beef and beef products from certain U.S. states where dairy cows have tested positive for avian influenza. Now, this move by the South American country marks the first instance of a country limiting beef trade due to bird flu in dairy cows, indicating the broader economic impact of the global poultry trade restrictions seen over the past few years. Although Colombia imports only a small amount of beef from the U.S. annually, the ban affects beef products derived from cattle slaughtered in specific states. Those include Idaho, Kansas, Michigan, New Mexico, North Carolina, Ohio, South Dakota, Texas, and most recently Colorado, as a positive dairy herd had been identified last week. More on that story coming up. While we stress no U.S. beef cow has tested positive for bird flu, Colombia is the sole country to officially impose restrictions on U.S. beef exports due to the H5N1 outbreak. In a statement last week, the U.S. Meat Export Federation views the import restrictions as lacking scientific basis and impactful for exporters doing business in Colombia and their customers. USDA officials are engaging with Colombia on the matter, along with other key trading partners that have requested additional information on the U.S. government's epidemiology to mitigate trade impacts. Rosemary Sifford, USDA's chief veterinary officer, made a statement saying that they are providing information to assist trading partners upon request, although specific partners were not disclosed. Now, this is just a hunch, but I would assume once the cattle markets open here in a few hours on this Monday, they will not respond very positively to the news of those import restrictions on U.S. beef. This is a developing story that we will continue to closely monitor on the Western Ag Network.
At Ag West, we know agriculture isn't just a business. It's a way of life. So we're here to help operations succeed for generations to come by supporting our customer members and the rural communities where we live and work. From small family businesses to large operations, AgWest brings the experience and financial know-how to help you grow your best future. Find out how we can help at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Beef. Beef and baseball. It's a guaranteed grand slam when the two connect. No surprise there. All it takes is one whiff of that mouth-watering, juicy burger, and the whole team will be wondering how they can get their mitts on one of those homegrown patties. Batter up! Beef. It's what's for dinner.
This message brought to you by the Montana Beef Council and your $1 per head beef checkoff.
Well, a dairy in Colorado has now tested positive for H5N1 avian influenza as federal officials stress the value of pasteurization for protecting consumers from the virus. Colorado Department of Agriculture did not respond to emails about the positive finding. Still, the finding comes just as the bill that would have expanded the sale of raw milk products died in the Colorado Senate on Thursday. Last week reflected more focus by federal officials in getting detailed information out to the public after the first initial reports that milk products had tested positive for dead fragments of the virus. USDA and the FDA stated that pasteurization has worked in killing the virus in milk, but genetic material remained. FDA reaffirmed its testing and stated that the analysis continues, but milk is safe to drink. I'm Lane Northlund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Peter Christian. Thanks to our friend Peter Christian in Missoula. I figured if anybody would come through, it'd be Peter. Peter is great. I mentioned how, man, I really wanted to be at the Donald Trump Jr. event with Alex Brusewitz. A couple of great guys yesterday in Missoula, but I'd already committed to be at the General Flynn event last night. Plus, I wanted to be here in studio so we could be taking your phone calls and more here on this Monday. Just a busy weekend of events. We were at the Rockin' R Bar in Bozeman. Saw so many great listeners on Friday night. Then we were out at V42 Fitness in Three Forks on Saturday morning, and again got to meet some more great listeners and other folks there. Big thanks to Sean Gifford and Kira for hosting us that morning. Got to meet Questa finally. That was very cool. Great to meet you, ma'am. That was awesome, and so many others. And then, just a great weekend. And then I was literally sitting right next to the cage, right next to the octagon for the Fusion Fights in Bozeman Saturday night. I'll talk about that a little bit later here this morning. And then, of course, the General Flynn event last night. All right, but our friend Peter Christian, he covered the Donald Trump Jr. event in Missoula. We've got some audio that we can share with you, thanks to Peter. First, let's sneak in a quick phone call. We've got Nancy in Roundup first up this morning. Nancy, I thought I'd see you there last night.
No, I couldn't make it. I had some other plans and things that I was doing, but I heard your interview Thursday, and it was fantastic. So I was with you there in spirit. But I have a quick comment, and then I have a very bizarre story to share with the Montana Talk family this morning. My comment is this. In 1959, William Faulkner, the great Nobel Prize novelist, American novelist, wrote A Long Hot Summer. And that's exactly what we're heading for. They're already gearing up for a Democratic convention in Chicago, and they're going to say that it's going to be even more violent than the one in 1968 was. So I'm covering violence in our streets. I wanted to mention this John Hinckley Jr. Story, and of course it was on March 30th, 1981 in Washington, D.C., when President Ronald Reagan was leaving the Hilton Hotel with his press secretary, James Brady, and FBI agent. All three men were shot by John Hinckley Jr., And they did survive the shooting, of course, but John Hinckley Jr. shot the president because he wanted to try and impress Jodie Foster, the actress, because he was secretly, you know, in love with her. He was infatuated with this woman. And just to make a long story short, he was incarcerated in a federal prison for the criminally insane, and he was released June 2023.
So what does that have to say about 2024? Well, how do you tie that into today?
Well, because the thing of it is that he went on to call himself a folk singer, and he's got videos up on YouTube. And here's the kicker. He has a sold-out concert in New York City on the East Side. 4,000 tickets have been sold.
Good night. Who would want to go see some crazed, deranged gunman?
Fox News, NCJ Papa, death and devastation in Oklahoma from a tornado.
At least one person was killed in a bar with several people also trapped inside. Two more lives were taken in Holdenville, one being a four-month-old baby, and a fourth person killed on I-35 near Marietta. The damage spans across 12 counties here in Oklahoma.
Fox Weather's Brandi Campbell in Sulphur. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in the capital, Saudi Arabia, urging Hamas to grab a ceasefire deal on the table.
Hamas has before it a proposal that is extraordinarily generous on the part of Israel.
Secretary Blinken crediting Israel measurable progress managing the situation in Gaza, but wants it to do more. And former President Trump on Truth Social this morning, right? Stop the protest now. But students at GW University, they're not listening. America is listening to Fox News.
Yeah, it's going to be a hot summer. That was kind of the opening comment there from Nancy in Roundup, just to concerns about the violence. I mean, these pro-Hamas terrorist riots, I mean, here we go. It's another George Floyd summer. But now, what's their cause celeb? It's pro-Hamas terror. You know, I was looking at some of the coverage here from the event in Missoula on Sunday, and of course there were the leftists, there were the Democrats, there were too many of them, though. I mean, it was kind of a sad showing by the Democrats in Missoula. It's like, this is all you could get for your Donald Trump Jr. protest? I think the Democrats are just like, we give up, our party's such a train wreck, but there they are, there's all these leftist Democrats, so many of them with their face masks on and their new Che Guevara T-shirts, which is the Palestinian scarf that they're wearing now. I mean, there's the liberal white dude cheering on Hamas. Absolutely disgusting. But that's who the Democrats had representing them yesterday in Missoula, Montana. All right, let's see. Thanks to our friend Peter Christian here. We've got some audio for you. Let's see. The University of Montana's UC Ballroom tuned into a sea of Republican and conservative red Sunday afternoon as the MACPAC, the Montana Association of Conservatives Political Action Committee, filled the venue to see and meet candidates like Tim Sheehy, Greg Gianforte, and Ryan Zinke, along with Donald Trump Jr. Here's part of the message that Tim Sheehy delivered to the crowd.
It's about time we unify, stand up, and send him home, because what he's doing right now is he is rubber-stamping Joe Biden's agenda. We have a great VA secretary under Trump, Ronnie Jackson. He would have been a great VA secretary. Guess what? He was torpedoed by Tester directly. No other way to say it. We have Tracy Stone Manning now. Anybody remember that name? Running the Bureau of Land Management, the largest landowner in America, more control over public lands than anybody else, and hailed from, you know, her tree-spiking band of misfits here in Missoula. Handpicked to run the BLM by John Tester.
All right, that was Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy going after Liberal Senator John Tester, of course. He added this when it comes to the open borders.
John Tester is supporting open borders every single day. He voted against banning boys and girls sports. He voted against stopping to pay illegal immigrants to fly back and forth across our border. I can go on for an hour. Bottom line, he has to go. We have to retirement. It's up to Montana to determine control of the Senate. If you don't understand that this seat will determine whether we control the Senate for the next decade or not. That's how important this is. Every time we have a Senate tiebreak by Kamala Harris, who's the leading tiebreak of the history of America, it's due to one person, John Tester.
All right. There was also a hilarious line from Alex Brusewitz, the young conservative political strategist who is there sidekicking with Donald Trump Jr. We've got audio from Donald Trump Jr. And I've got the clip from Alex Brusewitz's speech. I shared that via Twitter, via X.com, X.com/Aaron Flint, if you want to see the video. What is John Tester's drag queen name? The answer after this. Oh, somebody had to say it. Why is the Montana Farmers Union hosting a Republican candidate debate? Why do they get to own the microphone? Why do they get to set the questions? They've basically become a Democrat Party front group. They're fronting for Biden, who is attacking farmers and ranchers. So why should a Republican show up for their Farmers Union debate? Somebody had to say it. If you missed it, check out the Montana Talks podcast. I think that was Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. Normally, you know, I should probably save the funny clip. I should probably tease this for the next 20 minutes and then play it at the end of the hour for you. But no, I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to play the funny clip right now. So Alex Brusewitz, he's the guy who was supposed to speak at the Montana GOP winter kickoff deal that they had. And then anyway, no need to get into that whole backstory. But he was in Missoula. He was speaking alongside Donald Trump Jr. yesterday. They're real good friends. Alex Brusewitz is very close to the Trump family, young conservative, a political strategist, and it's been fun. We've had him on the show here a couple of times now, at least. But the moment he took the stage at the University Center Ballroom in Missoula, he had this kind of open line. He's from Palm Beach, Florida. He's not from here in Montana. But he was, of course, out here talking to Montanans because he knows how important Montana is when it comes to having a United States Senate supporting President Trump's agenda when President Trump is back in the White House. So that's why he knows it's so important to get the message out here back to Montana. So he's not familiar with all the names here in Montana. But anyway, listen to this line as Alex Brusewitz took the stage.
How we doing, Montana? So I just heard something. I have a question. Is Big Sandy John Tester's drag name? What is it? I've never heard of Big Sandy. Does anybody know? Is it a town? Is it? I just don't know. I guess we'll leave that to the fake news to investigate.
Oh man, is Big Sandy John Tester's drag name? Is that his drag queen name? Is Big Sandy? That was hilarious. All right. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Donald Trump, I played a couple of the Tim Sheehy sound bites from his speech. That again, thanks to Peter Christian for sharing this audio with us from KGVO News in Missoula. Here's Donald Trump Jr. and part of what he had to say to the crowd.
This is the world in which we live right now. That stuff's happening on a college campus, and as the father of five kids, two girls, two of whom happen to be incredible athletes, we're still having like real debates, and people like John Tester are voting to allow men to participate in women's sports.
Now, of course, John Tester voted to allow men into girls' locker rooms, and Stephen Miller and others have been hammering John Tester over those votes. But, of course, the fake news media here in Montana has given John Tester a pass on that, as well as other topics continuously here. Donald Trump Jr. closing the event by emphasizing the importance of the upcoming November general election.
You burned down the city of Portland, that's fine. That was social justice. But if your grandmother was within 500 miles of D.C. and shook a fence, FBI is paying her a visit. Someone else shook a fence and got 17 years in jail. We're not living in a system of equal justice. And we're at a fulcrum point where if we don't fight back now to reclaim all of the values and all of the freedoms that we've lost in this country right now, you ain't getting them back. So thank you.
All right. And I imagine Peter will have a write-up for us that we'll have on our Montana Talks website here later today. We already have posted our interview with General Michael Flynn. So while Donald Trump Jr. and crew were in Missoula yesterday afternoon, General Michael Flynn and his Flynn movie tour. A tour bus rolled into Billings, Montana. They were at Bethany Christian yesterday afternoon for a meet and greet. We actually watched the full Flynn movie. We watched the movie, and then he did a Q&A afterwards. I stuck around for part of the Q&A, and then I was like, man, I better roll out. I got to get some sleep before getting up at O'Dark 30 for the radio show here this morning. But one of the guys who is traveling in the convoy with General Michael Flynn is a retired Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Ranklin. Let me just roll right into my interview here with him. I tell you what, for those of you listening to this show, help a brother out here. Let me know, because I used my wireless microphones instead of my wired microphone. So let me know if the audio is coming out well across the radio, across the app, because I want to play the full interview later this morning or additional interview clips later this morning from what I don't air maybe right now. But I'm going to play at least a couple of minutes of this. Travis, and then our other listeners out there, let me know how it sounds to you, because if the audio is hard to hear, then I'll just save it for the website. Anyway, let's jump right into it. This is yesterday afternoon before the Flynn movie. Hey, Aaron Flynn here. We are just about to attend the General Flynn event here in Billings, Montana. I've been wanting to catch up with Lieutenant Colonel. He's out of the military now, Ivan Ranklin, though. But first off, hey, thanks for your service, brother. It's an honor to see you here in Billings, Montana.
Appreciate it, Aaron. Yeah, it's been a while. Like, you came up to me and you said, wait, weren't you at the Commander's Conference for the 19th Special Forces Group? So I have a witness that can attest that I somehow served in Special Forces.
Are there people that question your background? That literally,
not anymore.
Yeah. you've got a recognizable face, and you, like I said, you look like an MMA fighter. So like
early on, they were like questioning me and this and that. Now people just attack my character.
Yeah.
And they try to come up with names that really, it doesn't bother me. I revel in there. You know, as a famous political advisor once said, I revel in your hatred of me, because if I wasn't relevant and effective, you would not hate me. So the more haters that come out, the more it indicates to me that I'm over the target, and I'm only going to drop more, you know what, over that target.
Fire for effect, right? isn't it funny, though, just like how they attack you, they go from fake narrative to fake narrative to fake narrative. They lie about your military service. Then they're like, oh, we got busted over that one, so now we're going to make up another lie, make up another attack. Why do you think they're so viciously attacking you? I think I have a good idea why. It's because, like General Flynn, like President Trump, the deep state operatives are trying to transform this country into something else, and they're going to take down anybody they can in their path.
So here's how they operate. So the easy button is for them to investigate you until they find something over you to then discredit you through factual information, and then essentially use that as leverage to control you, right? When they're not able to do that, then they attempt to entrap you into doing something that is unlawful so that they can then go after you on that. When they fail to do both of those, then they have to come up and concoct false information to discredit you. So that's kind of where we're at. The first target of that entire weaponization in this kind of current modern historical arc of history of the senior leadership of both political parties and the entire national security ecosystem, their first target was their number one existential threat, which was General Flynn. Because when you look at it and you back up and you see in July 2016, and this wall kind of talks about it, I'm not going to go into too much details because we're going to do a short little interview. This wall that you're going to see when you go and visit the watch the movie in person, Michael Flynn Jr. and myself go into about an hour-long discussion of how from 2010 to 2020, well, technically 2012 to 2023 and beyond, the key individuals within both political parties, major political parties in the United States, the CIA, the FBI, all worked in some way, shape, or form, either in parallel or in coordination with each other to take out the one individual that was in the trusted inner circle of Donald Trump, the only one that was going to be able to expose the rot, corruption, fraud, waste, and abuse, and the illegal activity with the spying on the Trump campaign through Crossfire Hurricane. That person would have been General Flynn. They had to remove him because if all these guys...
He knew what was behind the curtain, so they had to take him out of the way, right?
He knew where the bodies were buried. He knew who buried the bodies. And if he didn't know, he had an entire network and ecosystem and 33 years of knowledge of the system, along with others, to go ahead and find out immediately who buried the bodies, how they buried them, and what consequences should be afforded to each one of those
individuals. That's why they had to take him out before they could start targeting everybody else.
Because Trump had no one else that could cover his blind side. Because let's face it, Donald Trump, a businessman, a successful billionaire businessman, and, you know, TV celebrity from New York. He had no understanding, real understanding at the time of the how D.C. worked. Who did? The former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, the former assistant director of national intelligence for partner engagements at the director of national at ODNI, Office of the Director for National Intelligence. In that position, he coordinated all intelligence and law enforcement for the protection of the United States under the Constitution between local, state, federal, tribal, and international partners. You don't think he knew a thing or two about the system? He knew more about the system than anybody previous or current going into that administration.
How do you describe this? I don't know what you'd call it, like a link analysis chart. I mean,
this is the general
some veteran terminology here. How do you describe this wall behind us?
Yeah, so the wall behind us, 40 feet. If you want the master class, it would take 40 hours. Seriously, I'm not joking when I say that. It literally would take me 40 hours because each one of these sections is about an hour long. Because I would, if you wanted the deep dive, I could go into every single one of these individuals, whether it's the Jim Comeys, the Andy McCabe's, the Peter Strzok, the Lisa Page, the Joe Pienka III, the Brian Ottens, the, I mean, let's go over here, January 5th of 2017. Sure,
yeah. All right, let's hold it right there. I'm hearing reports from you guys that the audio is working. You can hear it, so we'll play more after this.
Now, this is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Top aides of Biden secretly hatched a plan, according to the New York Post, this past fall to replace Karine Jean-Pierre by recruiting outside allies to nudge her out the door. She did make history in May of 22, but she became the first African-American and first openly gay person to hold the position and had developed the exasperating habit, it says, of reading canned answers directly from a binder to reporters at her regular briefings. I mean, it's impossible. How do you defend? Well, Joe Biden keeps messing up. Oh, yeah, he gets more done in an hour than most people can get done in a whole day. I mean, this is the crap they're defending.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, everybody, your friend Sean Hannity here with a message that is all about your safety. Now, when it comes to protecting yourself, your loved ones, well, it's not about having a firearm. It's about understanding the continuum of force philosophy. Now, picture this. A situation arises where you or a loved one are threatened. Now, instinct may drive you to reach for a lethal means immediately. Now, what if there was a way to effectively defend yourself, de-escalate a situation without the irreversible consequences of deadly force? Enter Byrna, B-Y-R-N-A. It is the less lethal pistol launcher equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammo to incapacitate attackers for up to 40 minutes. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. No background check is required and can be shipped right to your door. Now, Byrna is proudly American, manufactured in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Just go to Byrna.com/Hannity. Right now, you'll get 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Hannity.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The electricity business is a fascinating one. At least I think so. Not many agree with me. Decades ago, when I worked for an electric utility, I had a surefire way to make the kids fall asleep, and that was to talk about electricity. Growing up in an era of cheap, reliable, ubiquitous electric power put us all to sleep on the nuts and bolts challenges of making it all work. Those days are gone. Electricity has become a high wire act, with threats coming from all directions. The latest comes from the EPA, making its second attempt to close down coal-fired power generation through regulatory fiat, this time requiring generators to spend billions to sequester carbon in ways not yet technically proven to continue to produce. At a time when China and others are building new plants every few weeks, this sure looks like all cost and no gain. The economic and engineering challenges of maintaining what we're used to, reliably, reasonably priced electricity, in the face of the need to reduce carbon emissions is daunting enough. I'm Patrick Burton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Democracy 24.
In what could be a sign of things to come, anti-Israel squad member Democratic Congresswoman Summer Lee easily defeated her pro-Israel primary challenger in Pittsburgh on Tuesday night. This says there are new warning signs for both President Biden and former President Trump, who easily won nominations here in Pennsylvania. For President Biden, the pro-Palestinian uncommitted write-in campaign led to more than 36,000 write-ins this primary. The number of write-in votes are up 171% compared to 2020. This is a campaign to protest Biden's stance on Israel. For former President Trump, who won the Republican primary, Nikki Haley, who dropped out of the race just 2 months ago, still received 157,000 votes. That's considerable, given Pennsylvania is a closed primary, allowing only registered Republicans to vote in the race. Philadelphia, Brian Yenis, Fox News.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, studio. Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I was hoping that General Flynn and Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Raiklin would be able to join us in studio this morning. But, man, they're already rolling. Their convoy is rolling out to their next stop on the tour. I know we get some listeners elsewhere across the country, or maybe Montanans that snowbird in other places, et cetera. So if you go to flynnmovie.com, you can find out where their next stops are on their tour. But, yeah, here's more with Ivan Raiklin. He was detailing this 40-foot-long wall that they had on display yesterday at the General Flynn movie event. And I describe it as like this link analysis chart showing all the key players and their connections and how they were and what they were doing to undermine the President of the United States of America, and how they had to start with General Michael Flynn. Here's back to Ivan Raiklin yesterday.
January 5th, yeah, of 2017.
Yeah.
The John Brennans, the Jim Clappers, the Susan Rices, the Jim Comey, I said, the Sally Yateses, the failed Vice President, Hussein, right? And then you have evidence that supports what basically happened. This was essentially the decision to take out General Flynn on January 5th of 2017 in order to protect their illegal spying operation that was crossed by a hurricane.
On a personal level.
And then you got people in the FBI, the Deputy Assistant Director at the time for counterintelligence, Bill Priestap. These are names that most people have never heard of. Or, for example, where are some of these guys right now? The former intel guy, senior intel guy on Crossfire Hurricane, the illegal spying on Trump, he's still at the FBI as a senior intel guy for the Foreign Influence Task Force, which is the institutionalized Russia hoax program that perpetuated and decided who would be censored, how much they would be censored, what content was allowed and not allowed on big tech, and what was covered up. The Biden criminal laptop that the FBI already knew that they had, but yet they basically communicated with Facebook, Instagram, the subsidiaries thereof, CommyTube, etc., to say, hey, you can't talk about the Biden criminal syndicate laptop.
It's on the eve of
because we're trying to keep, get him in power.
Yeah.
Who is they? One of the 51 that signed off that the Biden criminal syndicate laptop had all the earmarks of a Russian information campaign.
Yeah. Yeah.
The spies who lie? He was one of the signers. John Brennan, the former CIA director. Jim Clapper. Who else? One name that most people don't talk about that's really important is the inspector general under Brennan, a guy by the name of David Buckley. Who later become? Well, let me step you through his little career. He was the HPSI, House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, staff director for the Democrats, then became the IG, and then after January 6th was designated as the staff director for the January 6th cover-up committee. So David Buckley, in coordination with the U.S. Capitol Police General Counsel Thomas DeBias, are the ones behind deciding who gets persecuted and to what extent under their jurisdictional authorities of the Capitol Police Board, Title II U.S. Code, Chapter 29. Like, I'm a lawyer. I'm a former Green Beret. I'm a retired Green Beret, former intel officer, taught at the Joint Military Intelligence Training Center. To our people that do this for a living, I teach people how to do link analysis. I taught people how to do link analysis. I taught people about our national intelligence architecture. I taught about how to conduct intel support to multinational operations. I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I'm definitely not the dumbest guy in the room.
So I know you got to.
They went after and crossed the red line of some of us. that we're going to take them to the mat. They will have fear from me. I will never have fear of them.
Now, what else is really interesting when I was chatting with Ivan Ranklin, all these players that he showed on this wall, he said that there may be a Twitter files moment coming. Remember when Schellenberger and Taibbi released all those Twitter files exposing some of the corruption involving the Hunter Biden laptop? Well, what if there are more Twitter files now that Elon Musk owns, showing the direct messages of all of these corrupt federal government officials and the message? What if those are out there? Anyway, later this morning, you'll hear what Ivan Ranklin hints at on that front.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Spring is here, and forget about doing a deep cleaning on your home. The start of spring is an even better time to get your finances in order, which can help you save money and get you closer to both your short and long-term financial goals. You can begin by giving your budget an overhaul by taking a realistic and detailed look at your spending patterns and identifying areas where you can slash expenses and tackle your debt and pay off some of what you owe on your credit cards. In addition, take stock and see if you have accumulated credit card rewards points that have gone unused. If you were hit with a big bill this tax season or received a paltry refund, it may be a good time to determine if you withheld too much or too little. And if you're a shopper who can't resist a sale and you're likely to overspend in stores or online, unsubscribe to your favorite store newsletters and avoid malls where you may be tempted to drop lots of cash. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.